Welcome, everybody. This is MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers edition. And myself and Phil Rogers, pleased to be joined by Adam McKelvey, MLB.com's Brewers reporter. And just thinking ahead to the second half here a little bit. And Phil, I mean, the Brewers are one of those, you know, quote-unquote sleeper teams I think a lot of us thought could be interesting this season. But, you know, really a strong April, a very strong June as well. And they've really taken command of the Central, haven't they?
Yeah, Anthony, absolutely. You know, always the pitching-rich Milwaukee Brewers. You always know you can count on their pitching. Well, actually, this year you can. You know, that Kyle Loesch signing from a couple of years ago seems like it has paid major dividends. I know a lot of focus on how they went for it with signing Matt Garza over the offseason. But the guy to me that's been the difference maker is Kyle Loesch, and just kind of the fact you put that solid starting rotation out there with the lineup, you know, day in and day out, and it's been a really fun team to watch, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see how they hold up in the second half.
Absolutely, and I guess on that note about staying power, we'll bring in Adam. And Adam, what do you think of that? What is the staying power of this team? Is the rotation strong enough to hold up, you think?
Well, that's going to be the determining factor for them. And that, you know, it's strange to say because we're used to the Brewers of Prince Fielder and Ryan Braun and Corey Hart and hitting a ton of home runs. But this is a team now that's fueled by their pitching. And going into the year, this is what we said, that they wouldn't have the star ace at the top of the rotation, but they would have depth, guys who can go out there any day and win you a game. And that really has kind of played out for them. They've had, you know, Gallardo has had ups and downs. Kyle Loesch has probably been their best pitcher over the last 2 years, up and down. Garza certainly had some downs to start, but has got it together at the end of the first half. But they're all good enough to deliver a quality start and give the offense an opportunity to win a game, and they've won more games than not. So, you know, the question after their outrageous April was, is this a fluke? Well, I mean, I think 20-8 or whatever it was is not the rate they were going to stay at, but they should have staying power because they have good starting pitching. And I think that's what they're going to hang their hopes on as they head into the second half. And the key is keep those guys healthy.
Yeah, obviously a big key. And, you know, we saw, 6 years ago, Brewers had their first true whiff of contention in a generation. Doug Melvin, you know, really gets aggressive with the CC Sabathia acquisition. That might not be necessary this year if they can maintain that dependability. You also got to think, Adam, about the kid they have in Triple A, Jimmy Nelson, who's really taken a huge step forward this year. Maybe he's an option for them.
Well, he is, and there's a lot of clamoring in Milwaukee over the last couple of weeks for Jimmy Nelson based on what he's doing down there. Long scoreless streak at the end of his first half. He's pick to start the AAA All-Star game. He's the real deal, and he's, you know, 95 with great sink. He pitches a lot like Willie Peralta, a young guy they have in the rotation now who's taking some steps forward in his own big league career. And to pair those two guys at the back end of your rotation is pretty enticing for Brewers fans. But the Brewers have been really reluctant to do that, and the reason is they want to keep their depth for the moment that they need in the second half a replacement for a guy who has a sore shoulder and needs to miss a couple of starts. It sounds a lot better to bring up Jimmy Nelson than some of the other names they have in their stockpile. So they're trying to be really patient. And the one guy whose spot has been looked at a lot is Marco Estrada. He leads the major leagues by far in allowing home runs. He's pitched a little better lately, though, and that has given the Brewers a little bit of hope, and they're trying to be very patient with that, because if you punt him from the rotation now, you don't have Jimmy Nelson in reserve later. So they're really feeling their way through that. But, you know, really what they like is that they have six, but they feel legit, consistent major league starting pitchers. And again, that's the thing that I think they're focusing on most as they go into the second half. And I don't think that's to Doug Melvin an area of need. I don't think they're going to go, for example, sell the farm for David Price. I think they're much more likely to get some bullpen help and maybe fortify the bench with an established guy and keep the rotation as is. Now, we said the same thing in 2008, and he made a blockbuster deal for CeCe Sabathia, so what do I know? It just looks on paper like they're not going to be a player for a big-time starter.
Adam, one other question on starting pitching. You know, you look at this rotation, and it's been deep. I'm not sure if they had a game to win tomorrow. Who do you think they would want to win? I mean, Matt Garzner got off to the shaky start, and it seems like through June into July, he was kind of rounding into form. Two-hit shutout at Cincinnati, not an easy place to pitch. Is Garza the guy that they would want out there for a must-win game over Gallardo, or who would that be?
Well, you just named the two guys with the big stuff, but I'd go Kyle Loesch. I think he is, if you look at his numbers over the past 4 years, 5 years, he's one of the best pitchers in the National League, and he does it with 90 miles an hour, really good command, and knowing how to keep that hitter off of what he's throwing up there. He has been, I think you mentioned this right off the top, a great signing for this Brewers team. And there was a lot of angst when they signed him late in spring training a couple of years ago because it cost them a first-round draft pick. And for a team like the Brewers and how important it is to build from within, that was a high cost, a high price to pay. But he's pitched well, number one, and he's also that guy who quietly keeps things together behind the scenes, has had a tremendous influence on even Yovani Gallardo, a guy who's been in the big leagues a long time, and Willie Peralta. All these young pitchers that the Brewers have brought up, Kyle Loesch has had a hand in helping to develop. And he's the guy, without question, I would send to the mound if I needed to win one game.
And I want to shift gears a little bit. And when we talked, you mentioned you don't see a blockbuster for a pitcher, you know, in the yolk of the Sabathia trade some years back. But do you see much activity from this club at the deadline? Are there other needs, you know, offensively or bullpen-wise that you think they might address?
Well, you know, if you're talking offense, the one position could be first base. They brought in the offseason Mark Reynolds and Lyle Overbay to platoon right-left. It's worked out okay. Reynolds has hit a power drought in the second half of the first half. And, you know, they're not getting a lot of production there offensively. What they do have is really good defense out of those guys. Mark Reynolds is an unbelievable first baseman, and I don't know if a lot of people saw that coming. So that helps him, and that, you know, that unless the Brewers find some kind of a bargain for a guy they really like and want to plug in there, they might be tempted to just kind of stick with what they've got and hope Reynolds starts hitting some more home runs again. Their clearest need is at the back end of the bullpen for a right-handed arm. They finished the first half with a lot of lefties out there, four lefties in the bullpen, one of which is Will Smith, who's really good, one of the best setup men in baseball, and I doubt a lot of people around the game know this guy's name. But he is lights out, but showing signs of wear with a really heavy workload, and they need to get him some help. Francisco Rodriguez has been really good in the closer role, but what the Brewers need to do is figure out, do they need to go out, make a trade for an established back-end, eighth-inning type guy, or are they going to get some guys back? They have Jim Henderson, who at the start of the year was supposed to be their closer. His velocity was down in the spring, so they bumped him from that role. Now he's on the DL with a shoulder injury. If they think he can get back by the, you know, mid to late July and can be the type of guy he was last year when he was 28 of 32 closing games and was really solid for this team, that could be their acquisition. I mean, their big acquisition could be just activating a guy from the DL. They also have a younger guy, Tyler Thornburg, who was supposed to be part of the starting pitching plans before the Garza deal. He was really good in April in relief as well, and he's coming back from an elbow injury. So I think the recovery of those two guys is going to help dictate whether they go out and make a deal, because if you can plug those guys in for nothing, that beats going out and spending a good prospect or two for a Houston Street or another more established right-handed arm. But either way, I think Doug Melvin's got to get some help for the back end of that bullpen, because Will Smith and K-Rod probably can't carry this thing all the way through the end of the season.
Yeah, Adam, I'm with you on Thornburg. He was a right-handed version of Will Smith early in the season. And, you know, you take a starter, make him a reliever, sometimes those guys are real difference makers, and I think Thornburg's health would be a key for the second half. But what do you think about Gene Segura? Is there any way they can get back the first half 2013 version of Segura? It seems like to me if they could, that would be as big of an upgrade as anything they could do. This guy looked like an all-star. Well, he was an all-star caliber player. Hit 325, 11 home runs. But in the second half of last year and this year, you know, that guy has vanished. So any reasons to point for optimism that he's just been going through one of those early in your career type dives and he's going to really benefit from it in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, the reason for optimism, I think, is just the experience with other second-year players fighting through it. He got a lot of hits early last year on pitches out of the zone, and he got a lot of infield hits last year. Those two things have gone away for him this year. He's still swinging outside the strike zone, but it's not producing hits. I think, you know, they're talking to him about trying to focus a little bit more on, you know, pitches he can drive, not swinging at pitches anymore. And the infield hits have evaporated, and that may be opponents playing him a little bit better. And just knowing that that was a big weapon for him last year, playing him in a little bit more often, and those are turning into outs. So, you know, it's probably just another sophomore player having a hard time. And we've seen that so many times throughout the history of the game, and it's just incumbent on the hitter to work out of that. What helps him, like those first basemen, is that he is really good on defense. He saves a lot of runs that way, a tremendous throwing arm. I know because of his body makeup and his size, some people say eventually he'll move off shortstop, but the Brewers have not seen any signs of needing to do that. So I think that helps him stay in that position, and frankly, they don't have anybody else. He's their best option. So he's going to stay there and get a chance to work out of this. I think, you know, last year, the second half, you can point easily to him just wearing down physically. He'd basically been playing baseball for a year and a half straight at that point. They shut him down over the winter, wanted him to rest, thinking that would allow him to come back this season and play a full, healthy, solid season. But it's tough for those guys who are used to playing winter ball down in their hometowns to come into spring training having not swung a bat since the previous September. And I think that hurt Gene Segura as well. So these are all learning experience type things that he's going to have to work through. And you know, try to get something good going here in the second half, feel good going into the off season, and then make another decision. Does he go back to playing winter ball in the hopes of coming into next season a little bit stronger?
And one guy I think we got to mention is, you know, last year we had Carlos Gomez was the Brewers' big breakout, and this year it's really Jonathan Lucroy who's there was that funny political ad that the Brewers did a couple weeks back for the All-Star vote trying to tout him as not a St. Louis Cardinal, and obviously a certain St. Louis Cardinal named Yadi Molina was in mind there. But, you know, he's really had a dark horse MVP-type season and kind of brings up the question, has he become the best ball-around catcher in this division, if not the league?
Well, I think it's still Yadi. Someone's going to have to rip that crown off Yadi or Molina's head. But it's interesting that you hear more and more Jonathan Lucroy's name mentioned alongside Yadi. I mean, Yadi's still got him in terms of the defensive stuff, the game calling. There's nobody better in baseball than Yadi or Molina at handling a staff. But Jonathan Lucroy's gotten better at that. And, you know, you think about his career arc, the Brewers bumped him up to the big leagues in 2010 because they had a bunch of guys go down. He wasn't ready. Everyone knew he wasn't necessarily ready, and he just had to learn on the job. And I think the key for him is that as he's become more and more comfortable behind the plate, gotten into a routine every day in terms of learning hitters, preparing, working with the pitchers to get ready for the game, it's really helped him at the plate. He came up through the minor leagues as a really good offensive catcher, and I don't think the numbers are surprising the Brewers, the offensive stuff he's putting up. It's just a matter of being comfortable in his own skin in the major leagues, not stressing on defense and calling games, and it's allowing him to relax and be really their best overall hitter. This guy is an all-star for the first time this year. He's going to go to a lot of all-star games, and there is a chance that someday he will be looked upon in the same way that Yadi or Molina is. Because, you know, with Yadi, again, he came up as a defensive guy, and put it all together, once he started hitting, now he's a complete player. Jonathan Lucroy is that type of complete player, and as he gets better and more experience calling games, he's going to more and more be referred to as elite.
I think this probably wraps it up for MLB.com Extras Milwaukee Brewers. And we didn't even really talk about Ryan Braun. That tells you about this Brewers team, that they've kind of turned Braun into not just another guy, but a guy that everything no longer depends on. So this is Phil Rogers with Anthony Castrovinz, and we want to thank Adam McAlvey for that look at the Brewers in the second half.